19. Perception Management of 9/11 Evidence. Meet the New Boss, November 2008. It seems that 9/11 was arguably the biggest crime against humanity in modern history. It was committed in peacetime, and those who planned and executed it also worked out a cover story which was good enough to fool most of the population. However, they also realized that people think in different ways, ranging from those who accept something at face value to those who are more analytical. Additionally, even though there are many people who are analytical, and whose job it is to review data and draw conclusions, they are sometimes prone to discarding a conclusion on the grounds that it would take them into uncharted territory. This is perhaps because the bigger the lie, the more the people will believe it, a saying attributed to both Adolf Hitler and Joseph Goebbels. I would argue that this idea can be extended. Few would believe that seemingly decent, honest people are actually engaged in an ongoing and often subtle effort to keep the cover-up of 9/11 in place. The reason for this is that 9/11 is a nexus point not just because of its political ramifications, but also its technological ones. Having written a series of these articles, I am conscious that some people may think adding another one to the series may be overdoing it. However, weighed against that, when there appears to be an ongoing effort to discredit serious research, or misdirect the focus of attention from the core of the same research. Please forgive me for my attempts in trying to accurately document what I consider to be the harder to perceive aspects of the 9/11 and free energy cover-up. As ever, in all of these matters, the reader is advised to keep their wits about them and watch out for misdirection, subtle false statements or points where a mixture or true information and false information may be being mixed together, both in what is written here, and elsewhere. Asking the big questions, managing perception. Once it is realized that advanced technology, almost unknown in the white world of military hardware, was used on 9/11, people will begin to ask questions such as, who has access to this technology? Where did it come from? What it is capable of? One way to prevent or slow down the questioning process is to keep people in a state of confusion, doubt, and PR fear. If a person is in one of these states, it reduces the likelihood of them taking some kind of positive or effective action to change the status quo. Deliberately creating these states of doubt, fear, and uncertainty could therefore be seen as a specific strategy for maintaining the cover-up of 9/11 and other crimes against humanity. The game is therefore one of managing the perception of 9/11 by ordinary people. When this idea is considered in more depth, one can see, on a daily basis, how much perception management is a part of so many aspects of our lives. 9/11, the key evidence. In the last few months, Dr. Judy Wood has posted evidence linking 9/11 and the Hutchison Effect 89, and I have written about this in previous articles. Not long after she made this correlation, she came across something quite startling, the presence of a hurricane in the Atlantic 143. I have been involved in writing summaries for these Hutchison Effect and Hurricane Aaron studies that Dr. Wood has posted, and, because of that, I have been keen to review reaction to them. One way of getting reaction was through Dr. Wood's appearances on radio programs. Dr. Wood had appeared many times on Jim Fetzer's GCN radio program The Dynamic Duo to discuss her ongoing research, since November 2006. In considering these many appearances, it would appear that Professor Jim Fetzer, who formed Scholars for 9/11 Truth, supported Drivewood's research. On February 28, 2008, Dr. Judy Wood and John Hutchison finally appeared together on Jim Fetzer's radio program to discuss this information. Analysis of this has been posted in the article 9/11 and the Hutchison Effect, Handling the Truth. A few days later, Fetzer sent an email to Dr. Wood, in which he said, "Just between us, if Dr. Wood were to back off her relations with Hutchinson, whom I consider to be a fraud, I think her standing can be salvaged." At that point, Dr. Wood more or less concluded it was not worth speaking any more with Jim Fetzer on his radio program, despite several invites he sent. Again, here, I ask, who is Fetzer to be making such statements? Does he consider himself to be some authority on unconventional experiments? However, in July 2008, when Jim Fetzer suggested that Dr. Wood and I do a broadcast on his radio slot, while he was apparently unavailable, we decided to take up the invite to enable us to freely explore and comment on some of the issues raised in this article. Readers, of course, will tend to think that this was a very magnanimous gesture by Fetzer, though I would argue, based on evidence gathered later, that the main reason he did this was to try and maintain a perceived connection or even a perceived ownership of Dr. Wood's research, even though he had already threatened her reputation. This connection allows him to publicly state he is a supporter of the research, whilst privately, he seems to act in certain ways which contradict this position. Presenting the evidence, Dynamic Duo 30th and July 31, 2008. In the first broadcast by Dr. Wood and myself, 145, though we did want to clarify why Dr. Wood had not chosen go on air with Jim Fetzer since he had implied in email that Hutchison was most likely a fraud, in part because of Ace Baker's video fakery exercise. Then, as covered in a previous article 135, he did not question specific points of evidence in relation to the Hutchison effect. He merely agreed that Ace Baker appeared to have reproduced videos which looked similar but not the same as some of those of John Hutchison. When I spoke with Dr. Wood on GCN's Dynamic Duo show, she said of her own research it's so easily distorted and it seems that various folks tried to take ownership of my research to distort it, the meaning of it, and where it's going. You know, on various forums they refer to Fetzer and Wood's research and I don't know how Fetzer has anything to do with my research. Further, Dr. Wood commented that there were instances where Fetzer has been invited to present my work but then it's not presented quite right. He refers to lasers, masers and plasmoids. Fetzer responded to this on the 31st, during the first segment in which he read out a statement including the following: "I completely reject the idea that I am taking credit for her work or not getting it right." The statement Fetzer read out was sent to us earlier in an email. Dr. Wood did not suggest Fetzer was taking credit for her work, she said that it seemed like he was trying to take ownership of it. Also, to introduce lasers, masers or plasmoids is completely unnecessary, as there is no clear evidence which Dr. Wood has cataloged which directly implicates them. Further, her newer research makes an extremely robust case that Hutchison effect-like technology was involved, and Fetzer already knew of this 118, but did not mention it in his statement. Further, he said, "After having spent so much of my time and reputation in the defense of Dr. Wood's work, it is more than disappointing to have her make these malicious attacks on me, especially after going out of my way to have Andrew interview her to make sure her latest work was reported." No malicious attacks were made on Fetzer. Dr. Wood merely stated she was not happy with the way he had interpreted certain things, introduced redundant and/or confusing terminology and included these in presentations he had made. Fetzer then pointed how frequently Dr. Wood had been on the Dynamic Duo. And of course, it is true that she was the most regular guest of all. One of the reasons that she appeared so frequently was because she is the person who had done the most original research. Also, by letting Fetzer discuss it, one side effect is that he appears to support it, and, indeed, this seemed to be true, right up to the point where she posted her Hutchison effect study, which soon resulted in her standing being threatened by Fetzer. Was Fetzer's threat later carried out? Fetzer's email of March 3, 2008 referred to Dr. Wood's reputation being salvaged. It was therefore interesting to listen to certain things that Fetzer said on a later broadcast on his GCN program, on October 16, 2008, where his guests were Ace Baker and CB Brooklyn. Please listen to this whole broadcast to hear the full context of points I list below. Fetzer discussed a previous booking with Ace Baker and Dr. Wood and that he had invited Ace Baker on before Dr. Wood, despite Dr. Wood having done the research on the Hutchison effect's relationship to 9/11. Fetzer said, "I had wound up booking Ace on Wednesday and Dr. Wood on Thursday, but I'd also offered Dr. Wood on Wednesday and Dr. Wood discovered that Ace was going to say something about Hutchison's work. She wanted to come on with Hutchison, which I thought was great. So when I discovered that there was this concern about Ace coming on first, I invited her to come on Wednesday and I could move Ace to Thursday. She declined to do that. She told me she couldn't make that change. Frankly, I don't believe that's true. I think she could have made the change." So, Jim Fetzer is essentially accusing Dr. Wood of lying over this issue? Why? What evidence did he present that made him believe Dr. Wood's statement was not true? Fetzer blames Drive Wood. Later in this same broadcast, Fetzer then repeats invitations to come on his program. He suggests that Dr. Wood and John Hutchison go on his program and discuss the evidence. This already took place, however, on February 28, 2018, and has been discussed elsewhere. So why does Fetzer want to repeat this exercise? Does Fetzer think that blaming Dr. Wood for not contacting him, when he has threatened her reputation, and then suggested she is lying, is conducive to having an open discussion with her on air? Fetzer then says of Hurricane Aaron that it fascinates him, but I've been very reluctant to say anything about it, particularly since she has attacked me for sealing her research, when all I was doing was saying Dr. Wood has made this observation and offering my interpretation of what it is supposed to mean. If I'm wrong about that, then it's the best I've been able to do, given the limited resources I have to work with because I am no expert in these areas. This is very peculiar, as Fetzer has previously been quite comfortable in repeatedly quoting PhD physicist John P. Costella in relation to his opinion of the Hutchison effect. In any case, Fetzer has heard explanations of the suggested role of Hurricane Aaron in 9/11. It was made onto the broadcasts we did on his program, and he called in to comment about the broadcast, so he must have heard some of it. If he didn't hear all of it, then why wasn't he apparently interested in this important new study? Fetzer then repeats how Dr. Wood has attacked him and Ace Baker, which is not true. Rather, Dr. Wood has pointed out, as I have, how Ace Baker put out false information, stating he had reproduced the Hutchison effect, when in actuality he hadn't. Instead, he had made a fake video. This is not an attack, it is pointing out what Ace actually himself admitted doing. Similarly, Dr. Wood had pointed out that Jim Fetzer had repeatedly used inappropriate terms to describe what she had said, that is the use of lasers, masers and plasmoids, and that Fetzer seemed to be steering the discussion of Dr. Wood's research, rather than sealing it. Note she did not say Fetzer had stolen it, This seems to be another instance of Fetzer using subtle changes in language to misrepresent what was said and what actually happened. That is, the word stolen is a very emotive term, whereas trying to take ownership is rather different, and more appropriate to what seems to have taken place. Fetzer then says, these are problems with Dr. Wood and her failure. Her unwillingness to communicate with me places the onus of responsibility on her shoulders, not on ours. So, again we see Fetzer deliberately painting Dr. Wood in a bad light. Is he carrying out his threat? Is he making her reputation unsalvageable? To me, this is exactly what he is doing, but he uses some careful spin and subtle misrepresentation of what has actually been said and done. The result is that the main focus is shifted away from the study of 9/11 evidence and onto a character analysis of Dr. Wood. I would say to Jim Fetzer, what about the presence of the hurricane on 9/11, Jim? What about its path? What about the magnetometer data, Jim? What about the upside-down cars, Jim? What about all the other correspondence of Hutchison effect evidence and WTC evidence? If Dr. Wood did come on your program, would you be as silent as you were on February 28, 2008 on this evidence? Ace Baker hates Drive Judy Wood. In the broadcast, Fetzer brings up the issue of Ace Baker's hate mail and says, you literally used the word hate laughs, so I guess there's one definition by which that would fall under that heading. Also in this extraordinary broadcast, Ace Baker states of Dr. Wood that she's working real hard to destroy the case for molten metal and are hand in hand with Stephen Jones. I think that was really their assignment, the two of them together. I would point out that Dr. Wood and Morgan were extremely viscous in their attacks Stephen Jones. And rightly so. This is very peculiar. Ace presents no evidence to back up these very serious allegations, neither does he state whether he thinks there was indeed molten metal or whether there isn't. He thinks attacks are justified and he has now gone on record to state that he hates both Stephen Jones and Dr. Judy Wood. So, what about his ideas about what actually caused the destruction of the WTC? Is he going to take any time to talk about these? Ace then says, yeah, you know what? I do hate her. If you can't hate conspirators to mass murder, who can you hate? Baker presents no evidence for this extremely provocative statement, couched in a most unpleasant manner and being aired on the web radio station. So how does Jim Fetzer react? Does he say, well Ace, are you sure that's not going a bit too far? Are you sure about this? When considering these questions, take into account that Fetzer counts himself as a supporter of Ace and a dedicated supporter of Dr. Wood. Fetzer simply laughs out loud, then says he does not agree with Ace's views, but Ace has a right to hold them. Some people don't see that there might be some problems with this sort of discussion on this program. However, please consider the following. How would people react if Dr. Wood went on to Jim Fetzer's program and said I hate Stephen Jones or I hate Ace Baker? By considering these sorts of ideas and looking carefully at the language and mannerisms employed in this broadcast, I hope the reader can begin to see how perception management works. I would suggest that whole perceptions of issues can be changed with a tone of voice, a laugh, a chuckle, etc., and the listener's or reader's psyche is distracted from the double standards and covert smearing which are in operation. Fetzer on Hutchison and Baker. In the same broadcast, Fetzer stated, it's very difficult for me to imagine how anyone could just happen on these phenomena, that they would tend to require a high-level background and training, maybe no necessarily a PhD in electromagnetism, But maybe something that was roughly equivalent, John Hutchison did not just happen on the phenomena. It took him several years to generate effects that were repeatable, and he assembled more than 2 tons of equipment. What exactly is a PhD in electromagnetism? What would be an acceptable equivalent? Does scientific discovery necessarily follow on from obtaining a science certificate? And he was very evasive. He didn't really want to answer my questions. This is not really true. John answered the questions as best he was able, but Fetzer wanted to ask John about his entire background, dating back before the 1980s. This was not the same sort of level to which he interrogated Ace Baker. Fetzer stated that the reason he did not do this was because he had met him and had a very high opinion of his work, but this was even after it had been proved that Ace Baker had a stated he had reproduced the Hutchison effect when actually he hadn't, and B stated that Andrew Johnson had sent him hate correspondence when he hadn't. Additionally, Ace Baker had sent Dr. Wood hate mail, and Fetzer had no real problem with this. Muddling the evidence. As if confirming the above concerns about use of redundant or confusing terminology, Fetzer himself, in a later broadcast on the Dynamic Duo on August 5, 2008, said now there's another group, championed by Judy Wood, who has been promoting the research that suggests it was some kind of directed energy weapon. Now Dr. Wood is so tentative about how it was actually done, that's about as far as she goes in describing it. I for specificity add that it could have been lasers, masers, maybe plasmoids, something very sophisticated was going on here. Again, Fetzer failed to mention the Hutchison effect-related evidence and research that Dr. Wood had posted. In the same broadcast, he then went on to say, Dr. Wood is now suggesting the source of energy. This is my interpretation of her, what she is talking about. There was a hurricane off the coast of New York that was never reported to the American people on 9/11. This is bizarre. A hurricane could theoretically be used as a source of energy that might have been expended in the demolition of the Twin Towers if you could figure out how to transform it in a constructive, directed fashion. On the surface, this might sound correct, but sadly it isn't. Dr. Wood did not say the hurricane was a source of energy nor that the energy was transformed. Dr. Wood's study is about field effects, which is a different idea, and it ties in exactly with John Hutchison field effect experiments. Indeed, Dr. Wood entitled the new study 9/11 Weather Anomalies and Field Effects. Fetzer omits these ideas and clearly stated connections. So, I would therefore point out that Fetzer, who, on the one hand, claims he is clever because he has a 35-year academic career to prove this, on the other hand, claims he is not clever enough to correctly pick out and focus on details like those I just highlighted here. In other words, he's muddling the evidence. I conclude, therefore, he's therefore helping to generate engineered ignorance. In his August 5, 2008 broadcast, he had plenty of opportunity to comment on any of the data or topics we covered in our broadcast, but instead chose to talk about infighting in the 9/11 truth community. Then he talked about Barack Obama for a bit, all over the map. Also, he didn't even mention the name of the hurricane. Just after the segment referenced above, he gives Dr. Wood some more positive strokes, then says go and buy the Madison DVD, which, if you haven't seen it, is quite a confusing mixture of 14 hours of material. Fetzer discusses 9/11 on the 7th anniversary. On the 7th anniversary, Jim Fetzer appeared on Richard Serrett CFRB Toronto talk show to discuss 9/11 research developments. Richard Serrett's RS first question to Fetzer was, RS, here we are 7 years on, Any new information that has, say, come down the pipe in the last 6 months, a year, JF? Well, I think there's quite a bit, including that David Ray Griffin continues to publish new books. He has one called 9/11 Contradictions. Fetzer pointed out that the WTC molten metal stories are implausible and later did indeed mention Dr. Wood's research in the broadcast, when he said, "I follow the work of Judy Wood here, website and qualifications listed, and who has offered the hypothesis that it was some kind of directed energy weapon. It turns out there are whole families of these, and they're now beginning to admit that they have these weapons and they're using them in Iraq." Fetzer then points out that the military-industrial complex is therefore implicated in 9/11, and this would seem to be true, and the conversation continues. RS, what are we talking about? Like an electromagnetic pulse? Are we talking about scalar technology? JF, well, there are a variety of possibilities. Will I wish, ye know, if I were enough of a physicist, I'll tell you, when we gave the conference on the science and politics of 9/11, when it was all done, I invited members of the audience to come up and say a few words, and an elderly lady came up and explained she had a PhD in physics, and she didn't know why she hadn't seen it before, but after watching Judy Wood's presentation, she realized that they have used masers. So something like lasers, masers, plasmoids, something going on here, very, very sophisticated. So, Fetzer, even though he follows Dr. Wood's research, even though he repeatedly refers to her on this and other broadcasts as Judy Wood, prefers to quote someone anonymous to us person's opinion, and chooses not to mention, A, the Hutchison effect, and it is worth mentioning here John Hutchison has been a guest on Sirit's show on more than one occasion. B, chooses not to mention Hurricane Aaron, and the most recent research, featured on his own program some days earlier and in one segment he called in himself. C. Instead, he reports the opinion of an anonymous PhD physicist, given over 12 months ago, who stated she thought it that masers were involved, and Fetzer discusses nothing else at this point. Can anyone see anything wrong with this picture? Fetzer is giving his opinion, someone else's, and omitting to discuss any of the important evidence already put on the table by Dr. Wood. More perception management. One of the key things that can be confusing in the discussion of what was said is the idea of taking the credit, whether Fetzer said this or not. I am not sure, but it's all about perception. The same is true of the official story of 9/11. Fetzer is trying to create the perception that Dr. Wood is complaining about Fetzer taking credit for her work. If you listen to Dr. Wood carefully, she hasn't said this. She said that Fetzer is confusing and misquoting her research, which is true. Fetzer has previously and repeatedly mentioned lasers, masers, and plasmoids when discussing the evidence on his show. These are not terms that Dr. Wood has used herself. It is therefore easier for listeners to be confused and think that lasers, masers, and plasmoids is what Dr. Wood said, and it isn't what she said. If a PhD physicist said thermite brought down the towers, should we assume he is correct? Fetzer has created the perception that he is acting as a host and main supporter for Dr. Wood's research, and therefore he can justifiably claim to be some kind of spokesperson for her, even though he would likely never claim he is such a spokesperson. This is all very subtle psychology and difficult to see if you don't look hard. Knowing more details helps, such as the fact that Fetzer has not offered any financial support for Dr. Wood's research. I could go into more details here, but I don't think it is appropriate at this time. Later, he complimented me on the article I wrote about Ace Baker and the Hutchison effect, and he invited me onto his program to discuss the Hutchison effect. I refused, citing the above message as one reason. He didn't apologize, he called me a child again. This is disgusting. Ace in the hole part third. He then wrote to Dr. Reynolds and Jerry Lee Part and tried to persuade them to go on. Instead, they both refused. A magnanimous act? By the generous act of letting me host with Dr. Wood on GCN, Fetzer can be perceived as perhaps being magnanimous, and therefore Dr. Wood and I look bad or ungrateful for criticizing him or not thanking him. The GCN audience is small, so it doesn't matter a great deal if information gets out. With someone like Ambrose Lane on the Power XM channel, he had a much, much larger audience, which was, I would say, why Dr. Wood and myself never got onto the air. I would suggest that this is a very subtle manipulation psychology. As another example, he complimented me on my hosting, which I think was arguably better on the second show than on the first. Why did he compliment me then, when he had, A, previously called me a child, and B, said in an email, I am sorry, Andrew, but your standards of credibility and mine simply do not coincide. I suppose that having a PhD in the history and the philosophy of science and having devoted my professional life to logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning have given me a different perspective than your own. To me, this flip-flop behavior doesn't make any sense. I have never been rude to Jim Fetzer, nor have I insulted him. I have, of course, been very critical of him, and I think I have shown strong evidence that he is following some kind of agenda. There are those who disagree, but I certainly don't have proof that he is, indeed, following an agenda. Look into my eyes. Look into my eyes. Not around the eyes. I recently described Fetzer's MO mode of operation or modus operandi thus. It may sound a bit harsh, but I think this is accurate. 1. He gets puffed up with academic credentials but ignores these when it suits him. We do not know if Ace Baker has a science degree, for example. 2. He is very articulate. A good order, listen to the Syrett broadcast 186 to see how rapidly, fluently and succinctly he can deliver information. He's clearly a competent writer. 3. He takes an issue like 9/11, pretends to analyze it or consult about it, then basically can't draw any firm conclusions about anything. This is quite similar to what Kevin Barrett and David Ray Griffin also seem to do. 4. He mixes things round and muddles things up. 5. He stokes the fighting from time to time, for example calling me a child, saying shame on you to Dr. Wood. These actions can prevent people from seeing the real truth, the real evidence, because they are so distracted by his false authority. That is, I am clever, but I can't make a decision about what happened on 9/11. So neither can you. When this mask starts to slip, he does one of, 1, plays the victim 2, calls people stupid or picks a fight 3, ignores the issue and distracts, diverts onto something else. It's very effective when done well, and is entirely compatible with freedom of speech and expression, but people then don't know who's telling the truth. So in summary, I would suggest that what Fetzer is doing is very subtle. You can see it unless you look carefully. He also turns nice after being nasty. DRS. Wood and Reynolds have attempted to prosecute NIST's contractors for willful blindness. It now seems to me that, having looked at the evidence, that Fetzer is also being willfully blind over Hutchison effect evidence and Hurricane Aaron-related evidence. Why this is all important? Some might suggest that the information and commentary I have posted here is trivial or irrelevant, or damaging in some way. However, I would try to remind the reader of what is at stake. Thanks to Dr. Wood's diligent study, I put it to the reader that we have conclusive evidence that advanced free energy and weather modification technology was used in the horrendous black operation that was 9/11. I put it to you that we have conclusive evidence that the cover-up of this truth is being carefully managed by people that you may seem reluctant to scrutinize, because they appear to be white hats. The 9/11 truth movement is being controlled and directed. Perhaps we should remember the words of "Won't Get Fooled Again." The men that spurred us on sit in judgment of our wrong and meet the new boss same as the old boss.